ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're serving as a ruling elder or a deacon in the church, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: roommate, counselor, plumber, merchant, creator, mechanic, artist, engineer, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, a ruling elder and a certified Christian educator serving within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. I am looking forward to today's episode as our guest, Priscilla Andre Colton, is with us. Welcome, Priscilla.
Thank you, Martha, for this invitation.
Of course. Priscilla is a certified Christian educator and has an amazing ministry that I'm excited to get to share. But before we get to that, what else would you like us to know about you, Priscilla?
Well, as you said, I am a certified Christian educator. I am an ordained ruling elder. I've served churches in several states as a director of Christian education. I retired 7 years ago, and since then have found myself just as busy in the life of the church as I was when I was working. I live in Alexandria, Virginia now. I have two grown daughters and four absolutely delightful grandchildren, and no pets.
Again, we're glad that you're here, Priscilla, and thanks for letting us know a little bit more about you. As you know, our podcast seeks to provide a little bit of nourishment for church leaders as they serve, particularly for deacons and ruling elders. I love the opportunity to share the ways that church leaders are living out their faith, particularly through spiritual practices. And since I've been on the receiving end of Priscilla's practice, I knew it just had to be shared. Priscilla is a card maker, but she doesn't just engage in the craft of making cards. She sends them out quite widely. And now I have to know, Priscilla, how all this started.
Well, I first stamped when I was part of a team of Girl Scout leaders planning an event when we lived in Pittsburgh. And we were the host area for our council-wide annual gathering. And one of the people on the team said, well, we'd like to make this little memento that we would give to everyone, this little note card that was stamped and embossed, heat embossed with "make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, one is gold." And I looked at the sample and she showed us how it was done. And I said, gosh, I think I could do that. And she goes, oh, that's great. She said, I'll give you the stamp and the supplies and, you know, you can do that. Then she said they needed 300 of them, which I was reminded that I should have asked that before. I said, yes, I'll do this.
So this was something you were just learning how to do.
I was just learning to do it. I'd never done it before, but I watched her do it. And I thought, I can do that. It's three easy steps. I enjoyed stamping so much, but when I was working full time, it was a little tricky to do it on a regular basis. But a young woman in our church, she became a Stampin' Up! Demonstrator, which is a brand. She would have house parties. You just go into her house and you would stamp. And I just loved it, all the different techniques. It was a chance to be creative. And so I just stamped more and more. And then I got to be part of a group of Christian women who stamped together on a regular basis. And we always began our prayer times, our stamping times, with prayer. Mm-hmm. And we talked about people that we were thinking about. And we made a lot of thinking of you cards and get well cards and, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that became part of sort of the tempo of my stamping. And then I got into birthday cards because I think everybody's birthday is special. And you should get at least one birthday card in the mail that you go to the mailbox and open the mailbox and there's something that's just for you. So during the pandemic, I got real into it because we couldn't do personal contact with people. I started with a list of shut-ins from my church. And each day I would make a card for one of the people on that list and start to think about who they were. Many of them I didn't know. They'd been shut in since before I started at the church, but they were still part of our church community. And that's when it started to morph into a spiritual practice. That as I was making that card, I thought about that person. I prayed for that person. I would try to think, you know, has my life been touched by that person or what have I heard about that person from others in the church? So every day started with making a card and that just became something that continues today. I start every day and I make a card for somebody. I have a list of about 300 and some people that I do birthday cards for. Yeah, I did my part to keep the postal department in business all by myself.
I guess so.
Yeah, I send probably 30 birthday cards a month and no two alike. That is the thing that makes it personal. They might be similar colors, they might be a similar pattern, but no two cards are alike because when I'm making that card, I'm thinking about that person. And how they touched my life. Where did I intersect with them? And sometimes it's the only contact we have, but they get a personal card that I made just for them. And I think people have started to know that a prayer comes with it, that I've been thinking about that person. So shortly after the pandemic was over and we were doing some in-person things, another woman in my church, who is also a stamper, in fact, she got me involved in a stamping group here. We started taking materials to church and inviting others to come and be part of it with us. And we'd say, you know, think about somebody. We had the church's prayer list. We had the shut-in list. People could make cards for whomever. We invited the deacons to give us lists of people that they, you know, wanted to do cards for. And that's who we stamp and make cards for. So it became not just a spiritual practice for me, but Jean and I have tried to plant that seed in other people, that this is a way that you can reach out to people. This is a way that you can touch someone else, just that they know you're thinking about them. It doesn't have to be anything profound. Mm-hmm. Many of my cards are stamped with simple words like, may God's love brighten your day. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, there were people for whom to get something in the mail that reminded them that their church family remembered them because nobody could go visit anybody. So that was a way that we could keep that going. So that's how it became a spiritual practice for me.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much in there, Priscilla, that really touches me. And I love the way that you've described it and sort of the path that it took from being kind of a hobby or something that you liked into something that's really helped you get in touch with God and your prayer life. One of the other things that I love about the way that you described it is that it's not that you have to say, I am praying for you or express what you are doing, but instead you're doing it for them. Because there's so many times I feel like that it's hard for us to pray ourselves. Maybe something is going on for us that is just sort of getting in the way of that. And I feel like you've kind of taken that for them and are praying on their behalf. And what a gift to receive that in the mail unexpectedly and know that someone who, like you said, you may not even know is praying for you.
Yes. Well, and I like the way you put that because sometimes for me to pray with words is hard. But I feel like when I'm making a card, my hands are doing the praying. Mm-hmm. that, you know, as I you know, stamp those words, however simple they may be, my hands are doing the praying that I can't do with words. And I'm not one of those people that's particularly good with those empathetic, gracious words. I have such admiration for people who can write that really lovely note in a card. It's not me. And so the paper, I have a stamp that says, there's nothing like a piece of paper folded in half to say happy birthday. I mean, that's what the stamp says. Mm-hmm. But for me, that's true, that this piece of paper folded in half with, you know, some pre-printed words is a way of sharing grace, of sharing blessing. It's also kind of fun when I'm a Facebook stalker. So when I see people post things about they're having surgery or they've lost a loved one, if I can find a mailing address for them, which gets trickier these days of privacy, but if I can find a mailing address, I like to do a card. And I sent a card to somebody I met once, but they shared that they had lost a loved one. And I thought, well, this is kind of weird to send a card to this person. And yet I felt called to do that. Mm-hmm. So I made a sympathy card for her and I put it in the mail, found an address for her and put it in the mail. And it became a double blessing in that I got just the loveliest Facebook Messenger note back from her about how dear that was and that I had remembered her. We met once, but she had just made an impact.
What an amazing gift I feel that is, particularly in this time period. I know you talked about the pandemic, but I think even another part of that being that we're so now connected with technology, how different it would be if you had sent that person a Facebook message, for instance, yeah, or an email, if you had an email address. That's a completely different feeling for the receiver than it is to actually get a physical piece of mail. And beyond even that, something that you made with your hands. I'm particularly struck by the fact that you said that you do that every morning, that that's how you start off your day, that it sounds like it's a prayer practice.
It is. There are mornings that I make coffee and make a card, and that may be my only spiritual moment until way later in the day that life takes over. Yeah, it does set the tone of the day for me. And often I find myself, whoever I was making the card for that morning, I'm thinking about them off and on during the course of the day. I'll remember a time that we spent together or, you know, some time that our paths crossed or, you know, if I'm really lucky, something they said, but just that person's face will come to mind off and on during the course of the day, whoever I started the day making a card for.
What a gift. And one of the things that I realize is because we don't have the ability to show a picture, there probably are people listening who aren't as familiar with just the activity of stamping and that kind of thing. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you use colored cardstock?
I use cardstock and rubber stamp and ink pads. And there's lots of different kinds of ink pads, you know, permanent ink, water-based, you know, all different kinds.
And different colors, I assume.
And lots of different colors. Every stamper has their own, like, particular technique. And I like heat embossing. And that's one where you stamp the image and then you put a product that's called embossing powder on it, and then you use a heat tool to melt it so it makes it shiny and gives it dimension.
And I think the stamps then come in, like, some of them are pictures.
Flowers, words.
And
okay. Yes. I want particular kinds of words. Mm-hmm. I want things that that are authentic, and I want things that are faithful. And so that's where I do most of my online hunting for stamps, because you just have to have a variety.
I'm also struck by the fact that you said no two are alike. That's amazing. The other piece that I want to highlight, particularly for our listeners, is that while this practice for you is somewhat personal, it sounds like you've been a part of some groups that have done it together, and it strikes me what a valuable ministry this could be for deacons within a congregation, for instance, or those who are doing the caring ministry, that maybe it's not heat embossing, but how can they carry this sort of practice into how they care for others too?
Right. Well, and that's what, at the time that Jean and I started doing this, neither of us were on the board of deacons, but we invited deacons to join us because also recognize it's not everybody's cup of tea. It's just like watercolors or any other kind of art form. It's not for everybody. But we invited the deacons to join us, and we did a couple little workshop ways of teaching people how to use the different tools that we use. And some of them, you know, said, oh, yeah, I'd love to come and learn to do that. The making of them, that's a ministry in it by itself, but also the opportunity to build community around making things. That's what all these different stamping groups I've been part of. Yes, the stamping was great fun, but the fellowship with those women was really special.
I can honestly say that I know I smile every time I receive a card with your return address on it. My mailbox usually isn't that exciting, so so that's always fun. I have confidence that many, many others, as I've said, feel the same way. So thank you for spreading Christ's love and demonstrating care in such a tangible way, Priscilla. I look forward to learning the ways that others who are listening to the episode might use what they've heard as they care for those in their congregation and beyond. So thank you again for joining us today, Priscilla.
And thank you again for the invitation.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.